8 o'clock, time to get started. We appreciate each one that's come out today, and thank you so much for being in the auditorium class. Let's pray for every teacher, pray for our pastor. He'll be bringing 11 o'clock worship, and we thank God for each and every member. Thank him for his forgiveness, thank him for the word, and pray for each Sunday school teacher as we get up, try to get up each Sunday. That God has given us the message that will bless hearts and change lives. That's what it's all about. So we thank God for the word. I want you to take your bulletins. We're not going to cover everything in here, but I do love this right here, what they had in here about the gospel outreach. This is wonderful spiritual food. Keep gospel tracts with you each day. Give an invite to a neighbor. Look for public servants when out in public, in the drive-thru like pals, or picking up coffee. Send a nice card to your children's teacher. Drop by a laundromat when you're at your car wash and at the doctor's office. And I'm sure there's many more. So I thank God for that insert. All right, in the bulletin, here comes Brother Buck. We got to give, give, give. Appreciate you, Buck. Thank you. The announcements in the bulletin. On March the 2nd, there's another outreach. We thank God for all the outreaches. Some of the men went out this past Saturday and had a good turnout, and a lot of gospel tracts went out. March the 9th, don't forget the Maranatha Baptist Temple. They're having a youth rally for our youth. We thank God for that. Now, daylight savings time is coming up, and I love that time change. I don't like much like the one we're in, but I do like that one. So remember, we spring forward. We're going to lose an hour's sleep, so some of us won't be able to get all of our beauty sleep, but we'll still make it. March the 23rd is another outreach. And don't forget now, March the 31st is Easter. It's going to be here before you know it. March the 31st is Easter, so don't forget that. Don't forget about the other announcements there. Sandy and I are prayer chain captains this week. If you ever have a prayer chain, don't ever hesitate to call the prayer chain. Alrighty, we're going to have some prayer requests. Anybody have prayer requests? Yes, Miss Phyllis. Still don't have a date for the double lung transplant. Okay, I got them down too. So pray for these needs that are very serious. And Chloe, Susie's... Cleo. I got the wrong name, Cleo. Pray for Cleo. This is Susie's oldest sister, I believe. So don't forget to pray for her. It's very, very serious. Anybody else? Yes. Please pray for this matter. Brother James? Good. Do pray for this one. All right. I want you to pray for Sandy. She, her shingles, I was telling Kathy this morning, her shingles are trying to go away, but this headache she's got, her shingles are right here, and she's this side of her face is just swollen with the, and she can't get rid of the headache, so the doctor told her it could be a few more days or a few more weeks, so just pray for her. And Sandy's got this doctor's appointment for her stomach. As you know, she's been to two different doctors for her stomach, so this one's going to do some allergy tests on her March the 19th. And we're praying that maybe this is the answer, that she needs to stay away from some foods. It could be, so we pray for that. Pray for Candy and Charity, our two daughters, that the Lord will bring them back. Do you have another request, Brother Buck? Don't get old. Too late. Yes. Yes. Please pray for Ray and Sally. They'd love to be here. Ray needs God's strength to take care of Sally, and pray that God will keep Sally safe. I do want you to pray for the Gerald Rose family. Gerald Rose and Barbara came to church here for years, and Gerald passed away. Barbara's already in heaven, but Gerald passed away. We got the news yesterday, and I thank God for Gerald and Barbara's testimony. Their testimony was wonderful here at Tabernacle, and Gerald's gone on to heaven, and just pray for this family. Okay. That's true. That is true. What a blessing it is to remember people that serve the Lord, and now they're in the presence of our Lord and Savior. It's just wonderful. So remember Brother Rick, his sister Priscilla. I believe her name's Priscilla. Remember the grandkids, several grandkids. And Rick's still preaching the word as far as I know. So keep him in your prayers. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Brother Joel. We sure will. All right. This concern about salvation. We all probably have family members that are lost, so don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray for Tommy and Betty Douglas. Now, their grandson, from what I understood, Tommy on Wednesday night, a lot of the families got to travel today to go to Vanderbilt. And their 11-year-old grandson is having issues with his bronchial tubes, I believe it is. Only 11 years old, and they've got to do several tests this coming week to decide what they need to do. So pray for the family that's going to be traveling up today. Very, very concerned. Pray for Buck's granddaughter, that the Lord will bring her back, Kaylee. Kaylee, never can remember her name. And also Stephanie, my niece. I appreciate all the prayers for her. She was actually in surgery for 7.5 hours there at Cleveland, Ohio, at the clinic. And as far as we know, we talked to her husband. The doctors are telling him that the surgery went well. Yes, it was a long surgery, but they went in and got the scar tissue. They did something to the aorta valve. I'm not sure exactly what they did. She's very sore and tired, but they was able to take the vent off yesterday. And she just, for what she's been through, she's doing good. So we praise God for all the prayers. Just 41 years old. So God's answered prayer for that, and we thank him for that. Don't forget to pray for Ron and Joan. I talked to Joan this morning. Ron's got some issues. Some of his health issues are clearing up, but we still need to pray for him and Joan, not able to come to church, so please remember them. Joan said she misses everybody, and she'd love to be here. All right. I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but God knows who they are. Everybody else have a prayer request this morning? All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and praise you for another opportunity to be here at Tabernacle Baptist. We thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the Sunday school teachers. We pray that the Holy Spirit will empower our pastor today, empower each teacher, that you'll give us boldness and courage to teach your word. We thank you for your word and how it changes lives. And Father, all these prayer requests, we're not going to take time to mention each one because there are so many, Father, but you know the ones that are sick, those that are in the hospital, those that are going to have tests, those that can't be here for whatever reason, Father, please, Lord, give them strength and grace today. And Father, I know that they'd love to be here. Please, Lord, just touch their bodies. And Father, we thank you for answered prayer. We know you're a great God, and we thank you for the burdens that we can bring to you any time, day or night. We pray that you'll be with the 11 o'clock worship. Be with the Sunday school hour. We thank you for another opportunity just to be here in church, Father. Thank you for this past week. Some went through happy times, some went through challenging times. And we pray, Lord, that you always give us the grace that we need. And we do pray for anybody comes into our Sunday school classes or the worship hour lost without the Savior, that today will be a day of salvation for them. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about something today that It just come to my mind this past week. God's toolbox. You know, us men have a toolbox. Some have more tools than others. When I was working for Host and Builders those many years, I was, of course, on the inside salesperson, but we had outside salesmen that would go out to all these jobs where they was building houses. And it amazes me how contractors and remodelers can go to a site and build a house from foundation all the way up. It amazes me. I'm not good at work like that. I can fix a few things around the house, but as far as building a house or remodeling, it amazes me what people can do. And we got people in this church that can do the same thing. So most of us have basic tools around the house, whether it be a hammer, screwdriver, wrench, socket, saw, pliers, level, go on and on. The tools are necessary when things around the house need fixing or remodeling. Some men even have the big tools on hand to do the big jobs. Table saw, pipe wrench, drill, chainsaw, we can go on and on. We try to keep the small jobs around the house. We try to keep things fixed, running smoothly. We all have immediate access to these tools we need when something needs fixing, and we can choose and have a desire to fix them. Well, what about spiritually speaking? You know, God gives us tools that we need. We have different issues and different problems in our life that need fixing. God gives us those tools through His Word, and we got access to them anytime that we want. Some of life's issues that we face, financial issues, health issues, could be marriage issues. Of course, the Bible mentions sins against mankind and sins against Him, adultery, fornication, bitterness, anger, dishonesty, jealousy. We can go on and on. Well, the Bible has answers for this. And if our heart is guilty of these things, we need to get it fixed. I can't imagine if there's people going through life, their heart full of bitterness, grudges. Some people's gone for years, never asked for forgiveness, never got it right. You see, the Bible tells us that the Bible wants us to get it right. God wants us to get it right. God has called us to know and understand and obey His Word, and our hearts sometimes need a fixing. And we all know that. It needs a good cleansing every now and then. If we do something or we say something wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to deal with us. He's dealt with me this week. But you see, God's Word always gives understanding and guidance. It gives knowledge and insight into our own personal questions, the things that we have wrong with our heart. But we need to make it right and make it a priority that we make things right with other people, make things right within our own heart. How can we go from day to day to day if we have things in our heart that we've never asked God for forgiveness for? If these things keep lingering on, how can we serve God if we have these things in our heart day after day after day? But God's Word assures us that we can have encouragement, comfort, instruction, and wisdom and truth anytime we go to God's Word. So we thank Him for that book that can instruct. And even today I heard on the radio one day, I think it was on Joy FM, the Bible for I don't know how many years is still the best-selling book of all time after all these years. I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter number 55. This whole chapter is wonderful, but we're going to, because of time's sake, I want to read verses 8 through 12 in Isaiah 55. Verses 8 through 12, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And then verse number 12, it says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a verse. And then I want to go over to Psalms chapter 119. As you know, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, but Psalms 119, I want to read verses 103 and through 105. Very familiar verses. It says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And then verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, have you ever thought about the Bible being a mathematical miracle? The years ago that things that happened, the Holy Spirit that worked through every writer in the Bible, all 66 books were written by men from every level of education, political, social, from fishermen to shepherds, to priests, to physicians and kings. God used every one of them to inspire the Word of God. But all were inspired by the Holy Spirit. How can we do anything for the Lord without the Holy Spirit leading? It is absolutely impossible that these 40 men over a period of 1,600 years have planned these two categories of numeric patterns. It's just a miracle. Design upon design, interlocking the entire book into one continuous and harmonious event. There need to be no other proof in the whole Bible than the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing. But you know, just like the Holy Spirit led those men, the Holy Spirit can lead us today. I want to give you four facts about the Bible and how the book can fix lives, and change hearts. Number one, the Bible is a practical tool. You know, we talked about tools earlier that men use to work around the house, do remodeling, do construction. It's just like a hammer can drive nails, like a lamp that gives light, like a mirror where we look at our reflection. The Bible is a practical tool. It's simple. We can go to it and get God's instruction. We can find out about the babe in a manger, how Christ, about his death, burial, and resurrection. I looked up the word practical, and it says acquired through practice or action, being useful, having or showing good judgment, or being sensible. I love that definition. But you see, the Bible definitely shows good judgment and is very useful and sensible. It helps us in our daily life. If we stay in the Word, it's going to change us. It's going to help us grow spiritually because we definitely need it in the world today. The chaos, the things that are going on in our nation is just unbelievable. Just like when we eat a meal, we need a fork. When we drive a car, we need a key. When we sleep, we need a good bed, good pillow to lie down. This practical tool, the Bible, is just plain old good medicine for the soul. I hope that we'll look at it that way. I hope that we'll look at the Bible as a practical tool that we all need. We're going to need it in our life. Now, don't you think for one minute the devil's going to try to rob us of our Bible time. He'll do it. But we need that one-on-one with God. I want to read you a couple of verses here. Just one verse in the Gospel of Luke, for time's sake, Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 4. I run into this verse this past week, but I do love it. Luke 4, verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered him and saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then back in Psalms 146, it says a lot about what we're talking about, but Psalms 146, verses 5 through 10. I want to read 5 through 10 for you. It says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and sea, and all therein is which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, and the Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." And then verse number 10, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." I love that passage of scripture. I hope that we'll look at the Bible as a practical tool. We need it. Just like a construction man needs a hammer and a drill, we need the Word of God. Look at number 2. The Bible is precious. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible is precious. When we think of the word precious, we think of a tiny baby or a toddler playing in the yard or even a puppy licking the face of a child or a grandmother teaching her granddaughter how to cook. These are all precious times. But the Word of God is also precious because it tells us it's more precious than silver or gold than ever could be. It mends broken hearts. It soothes wounds that we may encounter. It's like a medicine that we talked about a while ago, a medicine for the soul. It's precious because it saves souls and cleanses a sinner's heart and fixes broken lives. Just like he did our life. We were once lost and undone. But that day we accepted Christ as a personal Savior was an amazing change. The Holy Spirit has lived within us ever since. It's also precious because it soothes the mind and gives peace to the weary. Have you ever thought about the Bible being precious? It should be. It'll give us peace that nothing else can do through the Holy Spirit. The Word of God always gives peace during times of worry or anxiety. We all go through that. I remember years ago, I'm not sure if it was my high school or somebody else's, but the word got around that a 6'4", 240-pound linebacker for the high school team, his teammates called him precious. don't know why. So the ones of us who love spending time in God's Word can truly say that God's Word is precious. It's changed lives. It's saved souls. When we were in trouble, it brought us to where we need to be. If the truth was known, I don't think any of us spend as much time in the Word as we should. But boy, the times that we do, we're going to grow spiritually. I've had a 360-day devotion for years. And it's been a blessing just to get out a devotion and read it. For each day is a different thing about the Word of God each day. So the ones of us that's spending time in God's Word, we can truly say that God's Word is precious. Over in Psalms chapter 19, not 119, but chapter 19, I want to read 4 verses for you if I can get over here. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 10. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And then verse 10, it says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." That tells a lot about God's Word, how precious it is. What about Christ's blood? Christ's blood is precious. The blood that he shed for each one of us on the old rugged cross, what Christ had to go through to pay the sin debt for us. Yeah, that blood is precious. That blood's what saves us from our sins. The precious blood was shed for all mankind. But the most amazing thing is Christ was willing to follow his Heavenly Father's command and take upon himself the sins of the world. If we had the time, we could list songs, hymns about the blood of Jesus. We sing them every Sunday, Wednesday night, Sunday night. The Christ's blood is precious, and so many songs have been written about it. Over in 1 Peter, I want to read to you a verse in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I'm sure you've heard these verses. 1 Peter 18:19 says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We know that the blood of Christ is precious. It saves souls. It saved some of our family members. It saved our church members. It saved our neighbors, people that we know. We all have people that we prayed for and are praying for now that God would save and touch. Sometimes we get weary because we want to see those people saved right away, and, you know, God don't work that way. Even though he wants them saved, it's always during his timetable. Look at number 3. We're going to have to move on. The Bible can also heal. A Christian writer said this: "A physical wound may last for weeks or months, but it will heal as time passes. But the wound of the soul, on the other hand, cannot heal on its own, regardless of how many years pass." Unquote. Let me read that again. I'm not sure what Christian writer wrote this, but a physical wound may last for weeks or months, but it will heal as time passes. But the wound of the soul, on the other hand, cannot heal on its own, regardless of how many years pass. You see, God's word, his touch, can heal a relationship, can heal a broken heart, can heal a sinful heart. We know about that if we've been saved and born again. And you see, when it comes to an old house or a worn-out house that needs work, contractors, remodelers can fix it up with their amazing skills. They use paint, new floors, vinyl siding, you name it. A lot of people call this the fixer-upper. God can do the same thing with our soul. He can heal our soul in the same way he can fix our mind and he can fix our heart when it will be pleasing to the Lord. You know, lost people, just like when we were lost, they have a decision to make. When they hear about the gospel, when they have a family member, friend that witnesses to them, lets them know about their church, they have a decision to make whether they want to enter the church doors or they want to be saved. It'll be the greatest decision they ever make. But we know as God's people, the Bible can heal. Just like an old house can be fixed and worked up and make it look brand new. I know our little house that we've lived there for be 35 years in September. We had some remodeling done in the year 2000, and the guy that did it lived somewhere here in Bloomingdale. I can't remember exactly where. He had been building houses and doing remodeling for 25 years. And it was amazing the work that he did as far as vinyl siding. We just have a one-level house, vinyl siding, shutters, what it did to the house. Other people around us had remodeling done. Some of y'all have had remodeling done. Guess what? God can do the same with our lives. He can do the same with our heart. He can heal. He can fix her up when we need it. Even save people. We need a fixing every now and then. And we thank God for it. We've been in Psalms a lot today, but I want to go back to Psalms 34, verses 17 and 18. Psalms 34, 17 and 18, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Boy, we know what it is for the Bible to heal. I can think of people in the past, not only in our own life, but people in the past that's been touched by the Word of God. The Bible has healed them. They understood what it was to have their sins forgiven, what a changed life would be. Boy, we all can think of people right now in the back of our mind. We'd love to see them have a changed life. The sad part is some of those people used to serve the Lord. Some of them did for years. And now they've fallen into the trap that they don't want to walk into the church doors anymore. They don't want to pick up their Bible anymore. They don't want to be around Christian people anymore. It's a sad picture. But the Bible can still heal them too. He can bring them back to the fold. He can bring them back to where they once used to be. We thank God for the verse that if they were brought up with the Word of God, the basics of the Bible, one of these days those people are going to turn back and come back to the fold. What a glorious day that'll be. Look at number four. The Bible can make a brand new life. You see, when a contractor or remodeler gets a hold of a broken down, old, shattered, battered house, just in a few weeks or a few months, they can have it looking almost brand new. That's what God can do with us. If lost people could understand what He can do for them and give them a new life. There's people out there that we know that's living in sin day after day after day. They refuse the gospel. They refuse that brand new life. It is a sad picture, but we can never give up on them. He didn't give up on us. He never gave up on us. It does take a lot of work for a contractor or a remodeler to put their skills into force and remodel, build a house, to make it look new. God can do the same thing with us. There's a lot of hearts broken, battered, a lot of hearts that's full of sin that need forgiveness. Now, you've heard me say this so many times, and I thank God that I learned what real forgiveness was several years ago, but there's people out there that's never learned what real forgiveness is through God's Word. I believe, and I'll say this to the day I die, there's empty pews in our churches because people don't think they can be forgiven from their past. No matter what it is, they want to have guilt in their life and they don't think they can ever be forgiven, so they don't have no desire to go to church. They don't understand what the real Word says, what the Bible says. What the Bible says is He'll fix any heart, He'll save any soul, no matter what the past is. Isn't that wonderful? He puts the past into the deepest sea and forgets it altogether. If we could just get lost people to understand that, their lives would be changed. To see a sinner transformed into a saint is a beautiful picture. We've seen people in past years saved here at Tabernacle. We've seen people saved in our families. I remember years ago back there in the very back corner, Paul Wheat. Some of y'all remember Paul Wheat and his wife. He was saved up in years. It was a wonderful experience. I don't know why, but I'll never forget it. You see, that just proves that God can save at any age. When we get our heart right, He can save at any age. That new life can now be lived for Christ and have a new outlook on life. Boy, the ones of us that's been saved and born again, how sweet it is. The Bible says it's sweeter than honey and sweeter than a honeycomb. Our life has been changed into something different. We want to live for Christ now. We don't want to live for the world. We still love sinners, we just don't love the sin. And you see, anybody's heart that needs fixing, God can do it. Through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, God can change lives and change hearts. And we've talked about that several times in our Sunday school class. The Bible can make a brand new life if only sinners would accept the true Word. You know, a lot of people try in our day and time, they try to come up with the truth. You listen to the news and things on TV, and we understand that some people don't know anything about the truth. You see, God's Word is 100% truth. God hates sin. We should hate sin. God wants lives changed. We should want to see lives changed. Just like we've talked about, the Bible is precious. The Bible can heal. The Bible is a fixer-upper when it comes to your heart. I've known several people in our families that's had to have heart surgeries, stents put in because they had a blockage. We thank God for the medical field, what they can do. And they've had a brand new life physically. I know people that's had a stent in their heart for years, still going. What about a lost sinner? The Bible can heal. They can give a great new life, a brand new life. The Bible talks about it throughout Scripture, that we can have a brand new life. I want to close with a Scripture verse. We could read many when it comes to a changed life, but I want to go over here to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to listen to these verses. I'm sure we've heard them, but just listen to these verses in Ephesians 4. I'm just going to read three verses to you. Verses 22 through 24. It says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." We could go through Scripture and probably read 100 verses on the brand new life and how God changes lives. But I love that verse right there. It says, and a pastor could take this verse and preach a sermon on it, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, really, that's where it starts. It starts in your mind. Of course, the heart has to be changed, but what about the mind? How many things have we seen in our world today corrupt and chaos because of the mind? They didn't have Christ as their Savior. They didn't know what it was to have a brand new life. They didn't know what it was that Christ could forgive their sin no matter what it was. They continued with their reckless life, their sinful life. Some of them have gotten in trouble. Some of them ended up in prison, and some of them ended up dead because of their mind, what they had in their mind, and the actions they portrayed. I hope that we'll see as God's people that the Bible means a lot to us. We should never neglect it. We thank God for His Word and what the Bible can do and what we've talked about. All right, we've run out of time. Anybody have anything to add to the lesson or anything to say? Now's your time. We thank Him for His Word. Pray for the 11 o'clock worship. Pastor will be preaching. Pray that the Holy Spirit empower him with the word.